physical fitness is one thing. What about our mental or emotional fitness? It's kind of the old hippie mind body thing. Okay, we've got the body, check. What about the mind? And in our profession, in the legal profession, taking care of one's mind is every bit as important as taking care of one's body.
You're listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Each episode, your host, author, and lawyer coach, Steve Britson, will take a deeper dive, helping you grow your law practice in less time with greater results. Now, here's your host, Steve Britson.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Be That Lawyer. I'm Steve Britson, and I'm glad to have you with me today. And hopefully things are going well with your law practice and you're thinking about marketing, thinking about business development, not just sticking it in a drawer and waiting for things to change on their own. I think we all agree we've got to be proactive, but that also means that you might encounter some stress. Obviously, you're taking care of your family, billing hours, and then trying to think about business development on top of that can be stressful. Fortunately for you, I have a guest today that I think you're going to love. Jeffrey Bunn is the owner of the Mindful Law Coaching and Consulting Group, and he's going to answer some questions and help us improve our stress levels and our mindfulness as it relates to surviving through being a lawyer. So how you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing great, Steve. How about you?
Good. Is it Jeff or Jeffrey? Which direction do I go?
Oh, Jeff. Totally Jeff. Totally Jeff.
Okay, cool. Then I'm going to stick with Jeff. Do me a favor and just share a little bit about your background, because you're a longtime lawyer that's, I guess, retired, and now you're helping lawyers to be less stressed out. So give us some background.
Well, first of all, thank you. A shout out to all the men and women who I worked with in the profession before I retired. great people. So a little bit about me. You know, it's kind of funny because for the longest time, I thought I was kind of weird, and now I know that I'm not so weird. What happened was I was your typical hard-driving type A litigation guy or gal, very stereotypical. I was walking the dog during the winter a few years back, slipped on some ice, tore my meniscus, got scoped, stopped running, because long distance running was kind of my outlet. So I found a yoga class in the Board of Trade building, which was that had noon hour classes. And I started doing yoga as kind of no impact, low impact alternative to running. And I got to know the guy who ran the studio, who owned the studio, was a former trader who just decided, he made his money, decided, screw it, I don't want to do this anymore. And through yoga, I became a little bit more aware of awareness, I guess would be a way of putting it. And he came over to me after class one day and said, you know, are you a meditator? And I said, no, I'm not really. I mean, I kind of know what it is, but no, I'm not. He said, you should be, because you would really benefit and you would really get into it. And here's a retreat, yada, yada, yada. Long story short is, it took me a couple months kind of mulling this over because it struck me at the time as kind of out there. But Vinny was the guy's name. God bless him. He turned me on to something really cool. And I was kind of freaked out at first, but I ultimately really kind of enjoyed it. And I thought, you know, I wonder if this can be applied to, is it just me? Or is it going to be applied to what I do? And for the longest time, I kind of thought it was a right brain, left brain kind of a thing, and never the twain would meet. The more I thought about it, the more I realized the circles really overlap, and really our right brain can inform our left brain. And the practices of meditation and mindfulness have made me a better person, but I think made me a better lawyer, most importantly, which is why, you know, after a year or two of kind of, you know, keeping that to myself, I thought, heck, I got to share this with people. I've survived. I'm on the back end of, or I was on the back end of a long career at the time, and I somehow survived. I thought, you know what? There are a lot of young men and women who are working, and I bet you've worked with a bunch of them too.
Sure.
They're working really hard and kind of stressing out because there are good days and there are bad days. The good days are great. The bad days are not so great. And results can sometimes be great. Results can sometimes not be so great. But I thought, you know, if I can help them get to the finish line, then I want to do that, which got me out of law, got me into this mindfulness meditation world in earnest. And, you know, the rest, as they say, is kind of history.
And, I'm just curious, because I've studied a little bit of this myself and went through some programming in the past and with my family, actually. And is there a particular style of meditation that you're teaching? I know there's a number of different types.
Yes. I mean, it's an original, goes back to like Buddhist. I'm from the Vipassana school, which in terms of the anchor that one chooses during the course of meditation is the anchor that a lot of people probably know of, which is the breath, and learning to watch the breath and use that as an anchor to kind of rest your attention, because attention is always on. It's just going.
Yeah.
But you got to put it someplace sometimes where you're trying to, it's like, okay, cool. That's great. Do your thing. But I'm going to do my own thing. So here's a shelf. Boom. And the shelf, so to speak, the anchor is breath.
Okay.
So Vipassana is what I do.
Very cool. Very cool. And, you know, I think this is maybe a rhetorical question to some degree, but, you know, why are lawyers so stressed out? What makes them as a group generally more stressed than, say, teachers or, you know, other types of workers?
Great question, Steve. It's one that I wrestled with for the longest time, because I thought it was me. And then I realized there's something about the profession, and it's not like I want to get down on it at all. I had a fantastic career. I love practicing law. And I think the men and women who are in the practice are great people. But there is something inherent about that. And it comes down to, you know, for the longest time, I thought, oh, it could be, you know, client interactions. It could be interactions with other partners or senior partners or, you know, co-workers, all those kinds of things. And there are very intelligent men and women who will call you out big time if you start kind of going out there. But I think a lot of it, as I kind of dug through some of that and got down to the bottom of it, I thought it has to do with uncertainty. There is just so much uncertainty in the world. Litigation, deals, doesn't matter if you're a transaction man or woman or a litigator. It just doesn't matter. We all promote ourselves to our clients as agents of certainty. I can get this deal done. I can win this case. But it's not that easy. It's not that simple. So on the one hand, in terms of business development, which I know is something that you are very passionate about, certainty is for a lot of people a component, the ability to communicate that I can get this done for you. Puts a lot of pressure. We end up putting pressure on ourselves because in fact, and we will do the best we can do. We'll be going to fulfill all of our, ethical professional obligations. And we're going to have at it. But you know what? The way the system is built, somebody wins, somebody loses. And, even though there are a lot of people who try to promote the kind of in between, that's the kind of mediation thing of we could find some middle ground. In most cases, there is a perceived, if not actual, winner or loser. And, you know, once we put ourselves in that game, that's kind of where it is. And, you know, certainty is something that is just built into the law. When we go through law school, we go through, you know, the whole idea of like stare decisis. This case, this issue has been decided. And if I can kind of, kind of marshal my argument in a way that conforms with prior cases, I can win. Well, it just doesn't work that way. Yeah. So I think uncertainty is the big one word answer.
Yeah. And I think in addition to uncertainty, what I'm observing, because this is something I have to deal with in my space, is just the time, right? I mean, we like to think that we can control the time, but you've got the billable hour, you've got the influx of emergencies that are constantly that are popping up, you know, people popping in your office or now popping up an email. And then you've got the family pressure. And then of course, business development, just pile it on. So we're trying to, you know, they're trying to juggle 3, 4, 5, you know, balls in the air at the same time. And it just seems overwhelming, I think, for them in their particular industry.
Sure. And it's like one more thing that I have to do. Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, right. Now I got to exercise, or now I got to do, you know, meditation. So where, you know, when am I going to fit in meditation in between, you know, getting up and having my day on and then wrapping up and the kids are all over me right now? Now you're telling me I got to meditate. So
yeah. Yeah. It's absolutely right. And I wrestle with that because time, I've been there. I know what that is. And I know that people are looking for, there may be a group of people, there is, I think, a large segment of the lawyer population that are inclined to do something, are open to the idea, but they struggle with, as you say very succinctly, the time factor. How do I fit this into everything else? What I've come up with is both a conceptual and like a practical metric. Finally, we figured out physical fitness. If we wind the clock back 10, 15 years, whatever the time might be, and you and I had lunch, and I called you and said, Steve, can we reschedule lunch? I'm going to go for a run instead. You would have thought, what? Get your act together, man. Where's your head? But somehow, over the last 10, 15 years, most of us have figured out that physical fitness is actually important to benefit not only ourselves, but also benefit our clients, our customers, whatever. And we've made, because of that connection, we've made time in our day, whether it's first thing in the morning, whether it's during lunch hour, whether it's at the end of the day, for exercise. This is something that hitherto had not existed. We made time for it. So I'm thinking, okay, let's piggyback that. Because for the longest time, what was going around in my head was kind of like, I get the physical fitness thing and I'm big time into that. But what about our physical fitness is one thing. What about our mental or emotional fitness? It's kind of the old hippie mind body thing. Okay, we've got the body. Check. What about the mind? And in the legal profession, taking care of one's mind is every bit as important as taking care of one's body. So, okay, if we make a half hour or an hour, we've made that time for ourselves for physical exercise. Let's use our cool down time, whether we're running or pumping iron or swimming or whatever. There's a little bit of time in between the exercise and kind of chilling out and getting back to whatever. Take that time. Take 5 minutes from the hour that you've created for yourself and use that while you're cooling down for your mind as well. And, you know, the idea of, I think everybody gets this really wrong impression. I think that meditation, we have to meditate like a monk. We have to sit down and carve out what's the right amount of time. Is it 10 minutes, 20 minutes?
Let me share that, you know, the what I went through with my wife and my son years ago was transcendental meditation. And mm-hmm. for that specific one, and again, this is the basic level, not advanced, was 20 minutes twice a day. So for some people that might seem insane because that's 40 minutes in a day where everything is coming crashing down around. But the way that it works, if you're smart, and I've did this for a while and my wife does it still religiously and I do it, you know, for other reasons at different times, but to get up. So you get up at normally at 5:30, we'll get up at 5:10, and from 5:10 to 5:30, there's your 20 minutes. And mm-hmm. then before dinner, instead of watching the news or whatever, if there's a way to just take 20 minutes before dinner to schedule that in. But I think, you know, I had a great guest, Walt Hampton, who's a time mastery guy who came on a few, months ago or so. And he basically said, look, you can't actually control time. Time is, you know, an abstract. You can control yourself. And you need to focus on how you control yourself to get the time in. So whether it's 20 minutes, 5 minutes, but what it sounds like you're suggesting is that what you're teaching and working on is a little more flexible and less rigid than what I went through.
Totally. I think meditating like a monk is a great thing if you got the time. Maybe right. Maybe it's on weekends. Maybe you do make the time. Maybe you want to go for a longer push. That's great. But it doesn't, I don't think, invalidate at all. Little chunks of time during the day is what I call me time. And a lot of it can be it's all about intent. intention. There's a great, I just did a blog piece about a Dutch concept. The word is Niksen, N-I-K-S-E-N. And the idea is like doing nothing. Or whatever you're doing, you're not doing with an intention that's going to result in a particular benefit. And I think it's important to have a little bit of me time that, where you have no intention. It's also really important to have time that's for yourself, that is intentional. And a lot of it has to do with, I think of meditation as kind of brain training. It's using, it's like sharpening a knife. You can do that for the longest time if you want to do that, or you can just do it a little bit, little bits. And I think as an analogy, that's one way of working that. We all figure out our own way. If we want to try to benefit ourselves, we figure out how.
Yeah. If it's important to us, we get it done. We figure out a way to delegate something else or push something aside or work after hours. Like we have the ability to work out. We have the ability to watch TV or watch a show. We have ability to eat meals. I mean, those things aren't always just not happening. They always, I don't think I've missed a meal. I can't even tell you how long. So, so because it's important to me to eat regular meals, I make it to the dinner table on time. It also helps that my wife's a fantastic cook. So shout out to my wife, Lisa. But
that's
but
always think, a good thing.
But I love, so in thinking about the tips for meditation, I think I've already picked up a few, but one in particular is that it doesn't have to be, you know, a long drawn out structured thing. It can be a 5 minute thing here or there to get your mind trained and to sharpen the saw and or think about nothing or so I guess that's a good question. Are we thinking about nothing? Cause I know like in some areas of that, it's thinking about breathing or thinking about nothing in really calming the mind versus meditation where maybe there's something else going on. So what's happening in your system and in your world?
Yeah, well, in my world, in my mind, it's not about going blank at all. Okay. It's about observing the mind.
Okay.
This is what I'm thinking about. And the idea that we are not our thoughts, you could extend that even to like feelings, emotions. We could be feeling really sad. The question is like, oh, this is what sadness it really is. And it's kind of be curious about that, explore. This is what feeling mad is, et cetera, et cetera. So the idea is for me not to kind of blank out, but rather to detach a little bit, observe, and become really engaged in watching the movie because the mind is always thinking thoughts. And if we watch long enough, then we can, from observing our thoughts, we learn a little bit more about ourselves. This is what I'm thinking about.
I guess I'm not pushing back. I'm just thinking as you're talking about like what would happen to me if I did that. It'd be like, I would start thinking, I'd start observing. I go, holy crap, I forgot to do this. Or holy crap, I forgot to pick something up from the grocery that I was supposed to pick up. I better get out of here. But that's not what you're talking about. You're talking about really being internally reflective on your feelings, on your thoughts, on what's going on with you.
Yeah, exactly. And again, it does get back to the very kind of base, and it's a term that doesn't do any of what we're talking about justice. But me time, it's like, what about me? We spend, and again, back to lawyers, we spend all day worrying about and dealing with other people's problems. What about me? So take a little bit of me time. I used to if I had a 2 o'clock call with Fretzen, and I knew, first of all, Fretzen is a jerk. And
hey,
it's hypothetical. Okay?
Oh,
it's
hypothetical. Like, okay.
Hypothetical, just Steve. Just a hypothetical jerk.
And
what we had to talk about was something we're not going to agree upon anyways. So what I would do is I had worked out a system with my admin where I'd like close the door, turn off the lights, hit DND, power down the computer, like 5 minutes before that phone call with Steve, I wouldn't, instead of thinking about what of an SOB Steve is and how he's going to say this and I'm going to say that and yada, yada, and get myself all riled up, I would just like chill and try to take it down and either think about nothing or think about whatever. But not our conversation. We're engaged in some kind of meditation, depending on what where I was at that moment. And it always helped the conversation. We didn't necessarily agree. But there's a great quote that I think applies to lawyers too, that I read. I was reading an article recently about a meditation, and the woman, Sharon Salzberg is her name. She gets a lot of ink, and she's a very knowledgeable person, a great teacher too. And she said, you know, mindfulness or meditation doesn't mean we don't fight. We just don't hate. And I thought, wow, that's a really important thing, because I think a lot of lawyers, particularly like managing partners who are thinking about the idea of how can they maybe involve or evolve programs, they're thinking, you know, my fighters won't fight anymore. They're going to become all, you know, kind of kumbaya, hugging trees and stuff. And that's not the case at all. We still have things we care about passionately, but we just don't, we're not invested in the same way. We can still fight. I can still fight. I don't have to hate you to fight you. It's like, dude, okay, fine. Bell rings, boom, up comes, you know, or off come the gloves. Yeah. And that's just the way it is.
So I think just to kind of recap some of the points you've made, you know, this doesn't have to be a big investment. This can be little chunks of time that you figure out throughout the day or haphazardly to get your mind straight and to be self-reflective, that me time as a priority is critical, that we spend all of our day worrying and doing other things for other people. What about us? We need to really, because if we can't take care of ourselves, how are we going to take care of others, is my summation. And then lastly, just, it might be helpful to do this type of meditation or mindfulness before doing something difficult. So before having a tough call, before, I play platform tennis, before a big paddle match, to just give 5 minutes to be thoughtful and to chill out and get prepared for what I'm about to go into. It sounds like those are some of the key, you know, core competencies of what you're teaching people.
Absolutely. And simplicity is actually a good thing. The old thing about like take a deep breath, you know, there's a lot to that. I could talk to you for a half hour about just that. But I, for the longest time, fell into the trap of thinking that what I was getting all jacked up about was something complicated, that the solution had to be complicated. Actually, solution could be very simple. It could be very short too.
Well, let me share something I learned from meditation, and I'm sure you know this analogy very well, but I think it's important for me to share, because I think the visual of it is so powerful for people listening. And that is, if you imagine that you're on the top of the ocean in a boat, a small boat, and it's huge waves and storms and a hurricane and crashing water, and you feel like you're going to get thrown over and drown. And then you go 200 feet down to the bottom of the ocean. It's absolutely calm. There's nothing going on. Little fishies are swimming around and saying hi to an octopus. And it's really, really nice down there. And that's an analogy for most people's lives. They're at that top of that water, just being thrashed around. And meditation is an opportunity to go down to the bottom where things are calm. And even if it's for 5 minutes or 20 minutes, to have that calmness and that thoughtfulness and that self-reflection is going to be so helpful to your brain and your body, than always staying on top of the water where things just never seem to calm down.
I love that. I love that. That really pretty much wraps it up. I mean, it tells the story. And the other thing too, I've heard you talk about the idea in terms of business originations and going out and hustling, which we all need to do, is the idea of creating a habit of doing that.
Yeah.
And this, well, what we're talking about is, or what I'm talking about is making a habit of doing this, just little bits, and, you know, and creating the reward system. The reward system is actually, I can deal with a difficult situation, be it a conversation, be it an oral argument, be it whatever, and feel a little bit better about that. So,
So let me ask you, Jeff, kind of in wrapping up, I mean, so people are listening to this, they're going, you know what? I don't do this. I don't have this. This is not something that I've tried before, but I want to take a shot at it. I want to learn what Jeff knows. I want to be involved in this because I can see myself on that boat at the top of the water, and I need to get below the surface. How do they get in touch with you? How do they get started in learning this stuff and starting to be someone that's mindful?
Well, thanks for asking. I mean, the easy thing is to search my website, which if you just, whatever your search engine is, rather than give you an address, if you search The Mindful Law Group, you'll get to the website. It's my website. There's a contact button. You can go through that. Or you can email me directly if you want to. It's jbunlaw, no dots, jbunlaw@gmail.com. And the last thing I would say on that score is, too, I'm teaching a class that's being sponsored by the Chicago Botanic Garden. It starts in February, I think, on Saturdays. That's about, what is it? It's the hows and whys, learning the hows and whys of meditation. And then there are different, each, it's like a 6-week kind of a thing. And I have guests that are going to be coming and talking about different kinds of meditation. That one, they're just offered as suggestions, really. This is something that you might do if you want to.
That sounds really interesting. And again, an easy way to kind of get introduced into this, to go through a little course or program with a number of different presenters. So
I think it's really important. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks so much for coming on and sharing your insights. And, you know, as a lawyer and someone who's been there, that's figured some things out. I think this is super helpful to my audience and to the lawyers listening.
It's my delight to share. This is a drum I'll bang all day long, Steve.
Outstanding. Well, listen, I appreciate you. I appreciate my listeners and listen, you know, these are continual, you know, things we need to consider, whether it's time management, whether it's mindfulness. And listen, everybody, I just want to thank you for listening today. And hopefully you're one step closer to being that lawyer, someone who's confident, organized, and a skilled rainmaker. Take care, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Visit Steve's website, Fredson.com, for additional information and to stay up to date on the latest legal business development and marketing trends. For more information and important links about today's episode, check out today's show notes.